Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're doing Canto 10, Chapter 51, Texts 13 through 19. So I'll read through Texts 13 through 18, and then we'll all chant together Text 19. Sri Raju Vacha Konama Sapuman Brahman Kasya Kim Vira Evacha Tasma guham kata shishye kim dejo javanardana. Translation. King Parikshit said, "Who is that person, O Brahman? To which family did he belong and what were his powers? Why did that destroyer of the barbarian lie down to sleep in the cave and whose son was he?" Text 14. Sri Sukuvacha sa ikshvaku kule jato manda tritanano mahan mukun iti gayato brahmanya satya sangha. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Mujakunda was the name of this great personality who was born in the Ikshvaku dynasty as the son of Mandata. He was devoted to Brahminical culture and always true to his vow in battle. Sayachita suraganar indrayar atmarakshane asurebhya paritrachas tadraksham sokarochiram." Begged by Indra and the other demigods to help protect them when they were terrorized by demons, Muchakunda defended them for a long time. Labdwa guham te swapalam Muchakundam atabhruvan Rajan viramatam kritcha bhavanna paripalanat. When the demigods obtained Kartikeya as their general, they told Muchakunda, "O king, you may now give up your troublesome duty of guarding us." Text 17. Naralokam parityaja rajam niyatakam karam kashman palayato sirakamate sarvavurjita. Abandoning an unopposed kingdom in the world of men, O valiant one, you neglected all your personal desires while engaged in protecting us. Text 18. Sutta mahishyo bhavato gyanato magasina vrajascha tulyakalina nanduna santi alita. The children, queens, relatives, ministers, advisors, and subjects who were your contemporaries are no longer alive. They have all been swept away by time. So text 19 we can all chant responsively. Kalo baliyan balinam Bhagavan Ishvaro Vyaya Praja kalayate kridan Bashupalo yata pashun Galo baliyan balinam Bhagavan Ishvaro Vyaya Praja kalayate kridan Pashupalo Yata Pashun.
Pashupalo Yata Pashun.
Kalo Balian Balinam.
Kalo Balian Balinam.
Bhagavan Ishvaro Vyaya.
Bhagavan Ishvaro Vyaya.
Braja Kalayate Kridan. Pashupalo Yata Pashun.
Pashupalo Yata Pashun.
Chant. Ladies. Students. Bhagavan Ishvaro Vyaya. Vraja Kalayate Kridan. Vashupala Yata Pashun. Kala, time, Balian, more powerful, Balinam, than the powerful, Bhagavan Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avyaya, inexhaustible, Vraja, mortal creatures. Kalayate. Cause to move. Kridan. Playing. Pashupala. Herdsman. Yata. As. Pashun. Domestic animals. Translation and purport by the disciples of his Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Inexhaustible time. Stronger than the strong is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Like a herdsman moving his animals along, he moves mortal creatures as his pastime. Please repeat. Inexhaustible time.
Inexhaustible time.
Stronger than the strong.
Is the supreme personality of Godhead himself.
Like a herdsman,
moving his animals along,
he moves mortal creatures,
as his pastime.
Purport. The universe is created to gradually rectify the contaminated souls trying to exploit material nature. The Lord moves the conditioned souls along according to their karma through various stages of spiritual rectification. Thus, the Lord is like a herdsman. The word Pashupala literally means protector of animals. The herdsman who moves the creatures under his protection to various pastures and watering spots in order to protect them and sustain them. A further analogy is that of a doctor who moves the patient under his care to various areas in the hospital for diverse kinds of examination and treatment. Similarly, the Lord brings us through a network of material existence in a gradual cleansing process so that we can enjoy our eternal life of bliss and knowledge as his enlightened associates. Thus, all of Muchikunda's relatives, friends, and co-workers had long ago been swept away by the force of time, which, of course, is Krishna himself. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Militam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakama Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Gamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyer Bacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone knows what month starts tomorrow? Anyone can say? Yes, you? Kartik, yes. And usually Kartik we have some special vows or plans to do something. So anyone here has made any special plan? Yes. What's that? Chant two rounds a day. Wow, that's very nice. Anyone else? Goranga? Wow, chant 16 rounds a day. Maybe you're in the wrong class. I think you need to go up a few grades. Yes? Go ahead. Okay, very nice. And you? 108 rounds. Wow. I think you're better than all the rest of us. Yes? Oh, okay, very good. Yes? Go to Mangal Arti. Yes. Okay, right there in the front. Think about Krishna. Okay, in the back? Oh.
They're getting bigger and bigger here. Okay. So, yes, that's a very good to make different plans for Kartik month so that we can please Krishna, because in this month, everything we do for Krishna's pleasure is multiplied and benefit many, many times. So if you're chanting one round, maybe it's like chanting how many? 1,000 rounds? And if you're chanting 16 rounds, could be like 16,000 rounds. Infinity. Oh, you like a big number. Non-stop. So the mantra, we're speaking here of chanting different rounds. Mantras are very powerful. And one could chant Kshatriyas, especially those of the highest grade, were taught they could chant a mantra when they and aim their weapon, and it would go to a specific person and only attack and kill that one person and nobody else. But here, Kaliyavana, he appeared to have no such power. He had to chase Krishna and try to catch him. But did he catch him? Did he catch Krishna? No. Why? Because what? Krishna's too fast. Death, that's part of it. Anyone else? In front. Good. Yes, captured Krishna with love, which means he didn't have enough pious activities. He was a very sinful person. He couldn't approach Krishna. He couldn't capture Krishna. Mother Yashoda was very pious and loved Krishna. She could capture, but Kaliyavana could not. So, a special lesson for us to remember. So we heard yesterday about Muchukunda, where he was in the cave. What was he doing in the cave? Sleeping. Yeah, he was sleeping. And when he woke up, what happened? Yes? Yes, he burned him to ashes. Just by looking at him. Exactly. He was sleeping. He didn't want anyone to wake him up. Maybe sometimes in the morning we're sleeping, don't want anyone to wake us up to go to school, but good thing we don't have that power. It would be terrible. So he didn't even want Indra to wake him up because he knew, oh, Indra may call on me to do more service. You want more help for the demigod, so I'll make sure he doesn't wake me up. And he knows better now. If he comes and wakes me up, he'll be burned to ashes. So he'll stay away. So Muchukunda was very tired. He really needed to sleep, and he didn't want anyone to disturb him. So now Prakshit is asking questions. He wants to know, who is this unusual person? He was obviously a great king. He wants to hear about, okay, where did he come from? If he's a king, what line of kingly succession is he from? Who was his parents? How did he get this power? Because these things are not accidental. The fact that he had such great power, he must have performed some great activities, some great austerities. People are not born with such powers in general. And if he had such great activities, then what family line was he in? How can we recognize him? So just like Ramachandra was in a particular family, he was also in a dynasty. What dynasty was he in? Raghu dynasty, okay. And that came from which demigod? Way in the back. The sun, yes. The sun god, Surya. So These were all important, especially to a bona fide king. So here we heard about, of course, we were studying here the pastimes of Krishna. And anybody who is in the pastime of Krishna, they're not ordinary. They're very, very special devotees, right? Otherwise, you can't be directly in Krishna's pastimes. So, Muchakunda obviously was very special. And in particular, it's detailed here how he gave up his wonderful family and his kingdom and his power, and he went to fight for the demigods for a long time. So we can just imagine that, for example, if we went to visit some friends for a week and we came back and everyone was 10 years older, that would be a little depressing, wouldn't it? All your friends were now 15, 16, 18, 20 years old, and you're still 8, 9, 10. So that would be a little depressing. What to speak if you came back and they were 60 or 70 years old? Then you were like, wow, who are these people? I don't know them anymore. But Muchikunda was even had a more difficult situation. He came back and nobody even remembered who he was. All his family, his friends, they all had died long ago and everybody even forgot who they were. Like in our history books, we can hear about the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization back around 2,000, 3,000 years ago. But before that, we don't hear much. So his family had gone away so far, thousands of years, nobody even knew who they were anymore. So he made a big sacrifice. And so he was he's benedicted. He was given a special opportunity to, first of all, sleep without any disturbance, and then he met and got the personal darshan of Krishna. Now there's another story of someone else who went away for a long time. Let's see if anyone knows his name. He was the father of Lord Balaram's wife. Who was his Balaram's wife? Anyone know? Yes? Yeah? That one. Oh. No, I don't think so. We probably don't hear her name so much. Her name is Revati. And even tougher question, who was her father? So probably if you don't know who she was, you won't know her father. Her father was Kakudmi. He was a great king. And when it was time for his daughter to be married, he thought, I want an extraordinary person, extraordinary boy to be her husband. Somebody very special. So he also was very unusual, very powerful, because he didn't just ask people in the local town or nearby or all over India or anywhere. He went all the way to Lord Brahma and wanted to ask, who can marry my daughter? Girls may imagine, they want your father to go up and ask Lord Brahma who you can marry? That would be quite a challenge. But when he got there, as happens, Lord Brahma was busy. He was listening to a beautiful concert. A very celestial music, beautiful music. So he had to wait for a little while. Here's for the reading from the ninth canto, third chapter. It said, when
Kakudmi arrived there, Lord Brahma was engaged in hearing musical performances by the Gandharvas and had not a moment to talk with them. Therefore, Kakudmi waited, and at the end of the musical performances, he offered his obeisances to Lord Brahma and thus submitted his long-standing desire. So he's telling Lord Brahma that I want my daughter to marry some extraordinary person. After hearing these words, Lord Brahma, who is most powerful, laughed loudly and said to King Kakudmi, O King, all those who you may have decided within the core of your heart to accept as your son-in-law, they all dead and passed away a long time ago. 27 Chatur Yugas have already passed by. Chatur Yuga. Anyone know how long a Chatur Yuga is? So Chatur Yuga is the four yugas. You know, everyone knows Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. And these all together are millions of years long. So he said that 27 of these have passed. So we can imagine it must have been like 50 million years. Can you imagine coming back to your house and it was 50 million years later? Nobody would know who you are. So he said everyone was gone. Even those who you thought you might have decided, they're gone. Their sons, their grandsons, and their other descendants, they're all forgotten. And you cannot even hear their names anymore. So, all the kings and other great personalities born in those yugas have departed even from memory into obscurity, so nobody even remembered them anymore. This is the way of time as it moves through past, present, and future. O King, leave here and offer your daughter to Lord Baladev, who is still present. He is most powerful, indeed. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose plenary portion is Lord Vishnu. Your daughter is fit to be given to him in charity. Lord Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one who hears about him, chants about him, is purified, because he is always the well-wisher of all living entities. And so then Lord Brahma gave him this benediction. Kakudmi offered his obeisances and went back to his own residence and saw there was nobody there. None of his relatives were there. And thus he somehow met Lord Balaram and gave him his daughter to be his wife. And he went on to Bhadrikasham to do his meditation and become perfect. So this is the nature of time. Time moves very quickly, and time is unforgiving. Time will not come back. One time, a businessman came to talk to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada quoted him a verse from Chanaka Pandit. He says, at the time of death, one cannot purchase one more moment of life, even for all the riches in the world. So we should utilize every moment for the greatest gain. So this is the nature of time. Sometimes people make up some imagination about time machines going back and forth and changing time, but you can't. Krishna says, Kaloshmi, time I am. So no one can control Krishna. No one can manipulate Krishna. Krishna is independent and he decides where we will go and what will happen to us. So Krishna is moving everyone in different ways. And we have to take advantage of the time we have. And just like sometimes, you may be a young student
or maybe an adult, or maybe even senior citizen. It doesn't matter. No time will come back. Like if you're in fifth grade now, you cannot go back to fourth grade and live that over again. It's gone. It's over. Or if you're 30 years old now, you cannot go back and become 21 again. Or if you're 60, you cannot become 40 again. Time is gone. You cannot buy it back. You cannot do anything to bring time back. So it's so valuable. So extremely valuable that we should be very careful with our time. So like we said, during the month of Kartik, you're going to take, some of you will take some extra time to chant an extra round or two. That's a good use of your time. You have so much time in the day, and if you give some time for Krishna, that is the greatest benefit. Any students here are interested in hearing about a scientific experiment they can do? Not so interested in science, that's interesting. Okay. So here is the lesson teacher taught to understand how we can keep things in the right balance. Teacher brought into the classroom a large open-mouthed jar into the room where all the students were, and he filled a jar with rocks to the very top. And he asked the students, okay, it's full of rocks. Is the jar full? What would you say? It's got all rocks in it. Would you say the jar is full? No. Yes or no? No. No, I think you know this experiment already. So the instructor then, he poured the pebbles into the jar. And then, while the students, they remained silent when he said, is the jar full now? So they didn't answer. Then he poured sand into the jar. You think even though the jar was full of rocks, would the sand go in still? Yeah. So he filled it up with the sand. He said, is the jar full now? No. Oh, well, you definitely know this experiment. So the students also were hesitating to say anything because they knew this is an experiment. So then the teacher came and he poured water. And the water, you could pour so much water because it was being absorbed into the sand and going in between the rocks. So what do we learn from this? Okay. Anything? So what we learn is when we put the rocks in first, there's plenty of space for the pebbles, for the rocks. And after the rocks go in there, there's still some space for the sand. And after the sand, there's still more space for the water. So if we fill our lives, our schedules, with the most important activities first, and what are the most important activities? Okay, only one volunteer here. What is it? Go ahead. Oh, she wants to say? Krishna. Krishna conscious activities. So if we fill our, we do the most important activities first, Krishna conscious activities, we will always be able to accommodate the less important activities if we choose to. But if we fill our time first with the less important things, like the sand or the water, then there will be no place for the more important activities, the rocks. So let us plan our days to include time for chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna's glories and serving Krishna's devotees. Then our lives will be completely successful. There's another example of how to do this. And a great king, his name was Ambarish. King Ambarish. And he filled his day by first engaging his mind in remembering the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And then he filled his words with describing the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And then he still had to engage his hands in washing the temple of Krishna. And while he was doing that, he engaged his ears in hearing the activities of the Lord, and then his eyes in seeing the form of Krishna, and his body in touching the bodies of devotees, and his nose in smelling the beautiful scents of the flowers offered to Krishna, and finally his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves and prasadam of the Lord. He used his legs to walk to the places of pilgrimage and to the temples. And he used his head to offer obeisances to the Lord. And finally, most important, he used his desires to execute the mission of the Lord. So everything he did was related to Krishna, even his desires. We have so many desires during the day, but if our desires are to serve Krishna, then even we've filled up to the very top. Everything. Everything is connected with Krishna. So this is very wonderful. And Maharaj Ambarish did this without any difficulty. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Ambarish Maharaj was able to do all these engagements with no difficulty in executing everything he had to do as a king. So kings obviously have a lot more duties than we do. And they have so many people coming to them with so many problems. They have such a big amount of kingdom to rule and take care of. So many people live in their palaces. So they have a lot of things to take care of. But he was able to do it all and still fully engage in Krishna's service. So this all begins with one thing, Shraddha, or faith. We have to have faith that if we engage in the service of Krishna, then all the other important activities in our life will still be able to complete them. We'll be able to engage in devotional service and we will not be the loser in any way. So that's a very significant lesson. Sometimes we meet people and they say, when you ask them to come to the temple or ask them to chant Hare Krishna daily, they say, I have no time. I cannot come to the program for chanting Hare Krishna mantra. I cannot chant one round daily. I have no time. The most valuable thing they have, time. And what are they doing with it? They're wasting it. They're spending it on something that, like here, King Muchukunda, he could see that all the things he was spending on his life when he got back to his house, they're all disappeared. They're all forgotten. Everything was gone. Totally insignificant. Such big, big, important things to do and people to see, and places to go, and they were all forgotten. They all disappeared. So there's a lesson that we can learn. What is most significant in our day? And what is the most important element that we have to use, which is time? We have time. We can always make time for the things that are important to us. So we should try to make the priority of our time for Krishna. That is what should be learned from these discussions and these examples. Krishna says, Kaloshmi, I am time. So no one can conquer time. No one can buy time, no one can manipulate time. for their own desires. But a devotee knows how to use time for the best purpose, to remember Krishna, to please Krishna. And therefore, he makes the best use of his time. Years ago, 60s and 70s, devotees would go chanting on the street. And the people would come up and they'd see them chanting for hours and they would say, "Why are you wasting your time? Go get a job." So they did not understand that the devotees were using their time in the best way. And their valuable life was being stolen by all the things they were devoting themselves to. So, very important lessons. So let me stop here while there's still some time for some questions and comments, additions. Anyone would like to tell us their story about time or their use of time? Okay, I don't see any students yet, so first Trivikram. Some students want to say something, please. You're going to have to raise your hand. Are you ready, Keshava? There it goes.
It's stated in one of the Puranas, time wears away everything unnoticed. Like an unbaked pot placed in water disappears imperceptibly.
Yes, time definitely wears everything away. So Krishna is using time to push everyone closer to him, but it's our choice. Do we want to go very slowly? It's like the students, they have to go over to their classroom soon. So they could do one step every 10 seconds. And you will probably get there in a half an hour. Or you could go quickly and get there in 2 minutes. So it's your choice how quickly you want to go back towards Krishna. How long do you want to stay in this material world and experiencing these dualities where everything is stolen away from us? And just like all of us know, if you work hard, perhaps the girls here, they sometimes work hard and they make some money doing some chores. So if you made some money, you put it in your drawer, and then you go back in a week and it was all gone, you would be quite disappointed. I worked so hard, I had some money, now it's disappeared. What happened? Then you found a little mouse come and steal it away out of your drawer. So you'd be quite upset. But time is stealing away everything we have, constantly. Any other questions? Yes, Janmasmi Prabhu.
Oftentimes, when we're affected by time, like the last sentence you said, time is stealing everything away from us. So the tendency is to, you know, there's, from a material standpoint, there are negative things that happen. So how can we see this in a positive way? The verse in purport, the last verse in purport, were all about how it's a positive thing, the passage of time. So it's not always easy to see it that way.
Well, time is what we have. And like in that scientific example, if we put the right things as a priority, then everything will come in the right way and we'll be able to accomplish many things. So time spent in executing duties and activities of Krishna consciousness has the greatest benefit. And that is not stolen away at the end of this life. It's the one thing that's not stolen away.
It's like sometimes people spend so much energy to get an advanced degree, like a PhD. But at the end of life, that all goes away. In the next life, they'll have to start over from PhD back to ABC. But those who execute even a little bit of devotional service, even if they don't complete in the next life, they begin from the point they left off. So that cannot be stolen. And that is makes it the greatest benefit. Just like we're sure Bill Gates would love to know that he would come back and he would have all his money with him in his next life. He would be very happy, but it won't happen that way. But if he would chant Hare Krishna, he would take the benefit from that into his next life. Unfortunately, I don't think he knows that. Any other questions? Any ladies have a question or a comment? Yes, Mata, you want to ask something?
Your comments reminding me of how Prahlad Maharaj says how many years are wasted, you know, in our lives just by being who we are. You know, it says in tender years of childhood, everyone is bewildered and 10 years are wasted. Boyhood, another 10 years. And in this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, and passes another 20 years wastefully. So it's almost like wasting time is built into human existence.
Especially for the non-devotee. For the devotee, we see like Prabhupada. He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam onto his last day. So he gave us the example how not to waste time. And we have this very nice Bhaktivedanta Academy, and we can see those children are not wasting their whole day. They're learning about Krishna. They're here chanting the verses. They're going to chant extra rounds for the month of Kartik. So I would say their first 20 years are not wasted in the same way as Prahlad Maharaj. So definitely we should take advantage of these opportunities to always engage in devotional, then it won't be wasted. Otherwise, yes, it will be wasted. Definitely.
Question. If you weren't lucky enough to be a child in a devotee family and not have all your childhood wasted, how would you say is there, it's not possible to make up for that even if you become a devotee later in life? Or is
well,
it?
You mean that a person who joins later in their life didn't have the same advantage?
Yeah.
True enough. But Prabhupada encouraged us that whatever time you have, utilize that. Don't make a plan to come back so you can go to Gurukula. It may happen, but we try not to plan that way. We can finish up in this one lifetime. And that is the great gift that Prabhupada gave, is that whatever point we start, we have the potential to finish up in this one life, even if we didn't go to Gurukula.
That leads to another question. Sometimes when you say that to people, they say, well, you're just being selfish then. You should be working to benefit. And I'm not talking about spiritually necessarily, because somebody who's trying to go back to Godhead just in the course of doing that automatically will do things to benefit other people. But they'll say, you know, there are so many problems in the world and you're just thinking of your own salvation. So I think that there is some benefit to others in working on your own salvation, provided you're trying to help others attain their, you know, liberation or go back to Godhead. But would you say that there's other benefits that may be, you know, material or apparently material in working towards your, you know, towards going back to Godhead?
Of course there's benefit. We're living our life. We're benefiting people. But Prabhupada would critique people. Like one time in Seattle in the 60s, a group of people posing as reporters came to speak with Prabhupada, and in fact they were Christian ministers. So after a few greetings and words, they immediately started to criticize. What are you doing for humanity? You know? Why are you going on this path? You're wasting your time. And Prabhupada could try to talk to them, but they had no ears to hear anything. But he explained to the devotees that anything that someone does in the material realm, they're just, it's all going to be lost. They can work so hard to benefit others in a material sense, but that people still all will die. You may even give them a comfortable life, but they still will have to die. And when they die, they'll have to come back and start all over again and suffer in the same way. So devotees are giving them a chance to stop this cycle. Get out. Like if this room was on fire, would it be valuable just to try and keep somebody a little cool in the room, or better to take them out of the room? So, but they cannot understand this very well, because they're thinking that the body is everything, and works to benefit the body are most important. But Prabhupada placed more importance on works to benefit the soul, because those have eternal benefit. Anyone else? Other questions? You had a question? Oh, goodness. Uh-oh, now we're challenged.
I was just thinking that obviously there's so many different grades of benefits one can have, but the ultimate, the most, the best benefit is, like you said, the knowledge of the soul, Krishna consciousness, going out and... That is the best benefit. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be out there and distribute the holy name.
Yes,
We could be doing so many other things for benefiting people and feeding them and building hospitals and so forth.
Yes, that's a fact. Prabhupada wanted us to distribute this Krishna consciousness. And it is not simply a chore, another duty, but actually one gets the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda if he participates in that. And they will feel a difference in their life if they participate in spreading Krishna consciousness by distributing prasadam, the holy name, the books, the philosophy, or just encouraging someone to become interested in the process of Krishna consciousness. So that's also a good vow for the month of Kartik, to help spread Krishna consciousness. I wanted to just take one moment to appreciate Bhakta Scott and Bhakta and Rachel who were here. They moved to Sarasota. You'll see in today's newsletter, they met recently the person in Charlie Crist who's running for governor. He was previous to governor, and they distributed a Bhagavad Gita to him. And they've been in Sarasota a little over 2 months, and they've already hosted 4 home programs. And he said, it's increasing. Now every week they're up to 14 people who are attending, and every week a new person comes. So they've taken this seriously, how to spread Krishna consciousness, and I want to thank them. Bhakta Scott will be coming here, I think, about the 26th of the month, and I think he should be getting initiated by His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami at that time. Aye. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sankirtan movement, and all glories to Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.